Acts chapter 15 from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Acts chapter 15, verse 24. Since we've heard that certain persons who have gone out from us, though with no instruction from us, have said things to disturb you and have unsettled your minds, we have decided, said the apostles, we have decided unanimously to choose men and send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it seems good to us, to the Holy Spirit, and to us to impose on you no further burden than these essentials, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what is strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you'll do well. Farewell. Then Luke says, so they went. They were sent off and went down to Antioch. And when they gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they read it, they rejoiced at the exhortation. Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers and sisters. After they had been there for some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers and sisters to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, and there, with many others, they taught and proclaimed the word of the Lord. Verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, come, let's return and visit the brothers and sisters in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul decided not to take with him one who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not accompanied them in the work. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and set out, the brothers and sisters commending him to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, in the New Revised Standard. So this morning we have quite a bit of work to do. So let's start with a map here. So here we are. Here's Antioch, where all this is taking place. There, Jerusalem is just out of sight down here. And this letter is being conducted up to Antioch, which really becomes the center of the church. And Paul is saying, hey, let's go to this area of Pamphylia and visit these churches where we set up. This is another Antioch, not to be confused with this Antioch. And Barnabas is saying, like, no, I want to go back to Cyprus and to Paphos, okay? So that's what the setup is going on here. And they disagreed, and they split because Paul wanted to go this way and Barnabas wanted to go this way. Okay? So far, so good. So Paul and Barnabas split. And Silas goes back to Asia. Paul takes Silas. They go back to Asia Minor and to the areas of Galatia and Pamphylia. Barnabas takes his cousin, by the way, which we learn from Paul's lettering to the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 10. He takes his cousin, John Mark. We're just going to call him John Mark. They typically say John, who was also called Mark, or Mark, who was called John. And they go back to the island of Cyprus, which, by the way, is his home. Okay? So just to be thorough, though, Paul and Silas are called by the Holy Spirit up in Asia Minor after this split, and they are called to the area of Macedonia over here. So there, the Holy Spirit calls. There's a voice calling them to come to Macedonia, and you can see Philippi here. You can see Thessalonica here. You can see Corinth here, and here's Athens, all throughout the book of Acts. So they're called. We call this the Macedonian call. They get called. It's actually a vision, and they're called to Macedonia. And they head west into Macedonia and Greece, where they establish churches in these various cities of Philippi, Thessalonica, and so forth. And now we need a little bit more background here. Not only is there plenty of map work here to be done this morning, but we need a little more background on the history. So just to keep backing up, you see, earlier in chapter 13 in the Acts of the Apostles, written by Luke, Paul and Barnabas are set apart. They are chosen by the Holy Spirit for some very special work. So we go to Acts chapter 13, backing up here from Acts chapter 15, if you have your Bible with you or if you're looking at it on app. And it says this in Acts chapter 13. Now, in the church at Antioch, this is the one, it's the one over there by Jerusalem over in Israel. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, and Cyrene, and Manaen, a childhood friend of Herod the ruler. Wouldn't he be an interesting character, since Herod was such a vicious ruler? And Saul, this is Paul's previous name, and they start calling him Paul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So a little bit of background there. This is where Paul and Barnabas get sent out. So just to catch up again, back on the map. So here we are. They're going to go to Cyprus, right? And they're going to head over here. That's where their whole thing's going to start, right there. They're going to go to Cyprus, and they take John Mark, Barnabas' cousin, with them. Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark then preach the good news about Jesus being the Messiah to the Jewish synagogues in Cyprus. So remember, Christianity didn't start off just going to Gentiles, to non-Jews. It starts off going to the synagogues, and it's first being preached to the Jews. So a lot of the conflicts and the persecution stuff is a fight between Paul and Barnabas, who are all Jews, you know, and preaching the new gospel of Jesus, and with existing Jewish authorities. That's the first few years, the first 20 years, that's much of the fight. So they go to the synagogues in Cyprus, and things go well. And much like what Pastor Marta was teaching us last Sunday, the team runs into a magician, as the scripture calls us, as Paul calls it, a Jewish false prophet who's doing some spectacular things. And Luke says, Luke calls this, and he says, this magician is cursed by Paul, and he's struck blind. And the Jews are astonished at Paul's action here in striking this false prophet blind, and they believe Paul's message. So the sort of signs and wonders thing is following the gospel, okay? So just back to the map here real quick. So we get back to the map. So now they're going to go to Paphos, I guess is the way you'd say it, Paphos, and they're going to run up to this direction. This is Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. They're going to go up to this area of Pisidia, which, by the way, has a Antioch in Pisidia, so it's kind of the same sort of name, and they're going to run up to this area. But check out this small detail, really useful here in just a moment. Acts chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. Then Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos, there in Cyprus, and came to Perga, on the coast, in Pamphylia. John Mark, however, left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch and Pisidia, up north there. Okay? Just note that John Mark left. Luke, here in the Acts of the Apostles, doesn't say why or gives no emotional content to it. Okay? John Mark leaves and goes back to Jerusalem, and Luke tells us nothing about John's reason for leaving. But we can tell from later in Acts 15 that this did not sit well with Paul. It didn't sit well with him at all, because we read back on top of the teaching back to 15. Barnabas wanted to take with him John called Mark, his cousin, but Paul decided not to take with him one who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not accompanied them in their work. Got it? That's the background why Paul and Barnabas split up. Luke doesn't tell us much about the conflict. Luke just simply says this there in Acts 13. This disagreement became, is it 13? I think it might be 15. This disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Check me on that reference. I don't think it's Acts 13. I think it's 15. Yeah. Oh. The guy who wrote this thingy here did it wrong. So you guys are right. I am wrong. So sharp. You know, I chased this down in the Greek and all that sort of thing. And guess what it means? It means so sharp. So it's brilliant work. The disagreement became so sharp. Luke does not elaborate on the disagreement. Yes, there's a conflict and a disagreement, and the result is a parting of ways. Now, you know, what kind of conflict is this? Is my first question to it, and perhaps it's yours as well. There's a variety of type of conflicts out there, right? We all can categorize, if you just sit around and think about it for a moment and have a quick discussion, there's all kinds of conflicts out there. There are the super, super serious, painful conflicts, the disturbing conflicts, the ones where perhaps someone is abused. I don't even know if that's a conflict, that's just abuse. Or there's the conflict like when two people fall out of love and they'll have to find a new definition of how to love each other and redefine the relationship. I'm talking in marriage or in a family or anything like that. There are deep, these are the kind of conflicts that hurt the most, these ones that have to do with our heart and that sort of thing. On the other end of the spectrum are really these sort of real unsurprising pedestrian conflicts that for some reason we humans can't seem to avoid, like trying to get out of the parking lot at a Chiefs game, and people get upset so easily because they think it's so incredibly important that they get ahead of that car that's trying to squeeze in. That's a conflict. Petty, 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 and yet we can't seem to stop. Immature, lack of grace, simple kindergartner kindness would really fix a conflict like that, but we aren't there. There are ethnic and political conflicts like racism, the current war in the Gaza Strip, in Israel. People die. It's the most serious kind of conflict that's going on in our world and in history. Lives are destroyed. People are scarred forever. It breaks my heart every time I'm looking, you know, in the New York Times and I see some mom, you know, holding on to a bag that her child is in. Can you imagine, you know, the grief that goes on there right now? That suffering lasts for generations. Yay, we who know the Bible call it 3,000 years, if not more. All this has been going on. The world is scarred, reshaped through wars and atrocities, and God is deeply grieved at humanities and what they do to each other with these humans. And then there are conflicts like Paul and Barnabas. What kind of category is this of a conflict? Let's face it. Paul, if you read your New Testament, Paul can be a handful, right? Paul's a handful. You read these letters that he writes. Paul's this enigma of being this extremely loving, gracious, sacrificing person, and then just being hell on wheels. You know what I mean? He's quite a character. Paul seems always ready for a fight. You know, Paul is passionate and opinionated and obstinate. He has to have his way. You know, I don't know about you. I got some little weird thing I've done now for decades where I seem to want to judge Bible characters based upon would I like to go to the movies with them. I'm not kidding. I actually have a thing like would I go to the movies with Paul? You know, and so I've done that. I don't know where this came from. I just picture myself like, I'm going to go to the movies and we're going to get something to eat. And, you know, what are we going to get the concession stand? And I think like, you know, so who would I want to go to the movies with in the Bible? Like Abel. I'm good with Abel. Poor dude. You know, Cain? No. No way. I'm not going to the movies with Cain. Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. Maybe a rom-com. I'd go with Sarah, but probably a comedy. Moses, we got to go see an epic, you know, dun, 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 epic, you know. Got to see an epic movie with Moses. David, I'm totally there. David's the best character to go see a movie with in all of the Old Testament. It'd just be a lot of fun. Absolutely. Solomon, he owns the movie chain. So, no, I'm not going to do that. And Jonah? Everything but Jaws. So I don't want to go to the movies with Paul. I've thought this all along. I'm not going to the movies with Paul. He'd ruin the entire experience. I mean, he'd talk all the way through the film the whole entire time, out loud, like embarrassing, like squeeze down your seat. He'd rip the actors' motivations. He'd overanalyze the production. He'd disagree with the plot line. And then he'd take his popcorn back out and ask for the manager because it's too stale, you know, and he'd make a big scene about it. I would be embarrassed. And then he'd criticize, you know, the original Star Wars episode 4 because Chewbacca never actually ripped anybody's arm off until movie number 7, you know. So, you know, anyway, I don't want to go to the movies with Paul. Now, I would go to the movies with Barnabas. Barnabas, he's a good dude. Barnabas is a good guy. He'd be polite at the movies. He'd be enjoyable. He'd laugh at the funny scenes. He'd cry at the sad scenes. He'd be fun to go out to dinner, to go Buffalo Wild Wings. He'd get medium sauce. You know what I mean? Like, Barnabas is cool. But still, when it counts, when he gets down to us, Barnabas, he's not going to back down, right? He's sure not going to back down to his former disciple, Paul. And so they split up. So what kind of conflict is this? This is called a mission conflict. It could happen in a corporation. It could happen in the Bible, and it happens right here. It's a mission conflict. Both Paul and Barnabas were entirely sold out to the mission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the Roman Empire. This is what they were set apart to do. This is what they're called to do. They're supposed to go out and do it. And this is a mission conflict. You know, they just couldn't agree on how to pull off the mission about spreading the good news. They both loved people. They were both willing to lay down their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ and the church, completely sold out. And that's probably why they had a mission conflict, because they're both so extremely passionate about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You find passionate people, you're going to find some mission conflict going on. In every conflict, though, some reason we humans have this compulsion where we want to find somebody to blame. Who's to blame between Paul and Barnabas? Who's to blame in this sort of mission conflict? One, was it John Mark because he decided to desert Paul and Barnabas in Pamphylia up in the middle of nowhere and go back to Jerusalem? Was it his fault? Do we blame Paul because he's just too freaking intense and unbending and intolerant? Three, do we blame Barnabas? Was it Barnabas's fault because he wouldn't submit to Paul, his former disciple? Four, was it the whole church's fault? That council in Jerusalem that wrote that letter that we read at the top and they sent them out and all that sort of thing. Is it their fault because they didn't intervene and step in and help and fix things? So, I don't know what your reading is there in Acts 15, but my reading is that Luke just sort of seems to shrug and simply write that they disagreed and parted ways. This said, even after all this happens, these guys all still hang out together. As a matter of fact, this said we find Paul and Mark back together again at the very end. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. This is at the end of Colossians. My fellow prisoner greets you, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. By the way, you know, if you were in jail and during the first century, there were no three meals a day. You needed to have friends to bring you clothing, food. You have friends outside. And Paul, by the way, had a really good deal. He's a Roman citizen, by the way, right? And he actually was under house arrest, basically. He had one soldier guarding him, and so people could come and stay with him. Mark apparently is one of these people who's not under arrest, but he can come and go. So Paul's saying, if I send Mark to you, greet him. So just a little situation there on cultural stuff. New Testament scholars, though, agree that Paul wrote this church to the church in Colossae from Rome. This is the last thing. Rome's presumably where is Paul's last destination on all of these missionary journeys. It's around 61 to 62 AD. And there in Rome, Paul was most likely martyred by Nero, who, was emperor for well over 10 years. And in the end, Mark was with Paul. So for whatever disagreements they had, they kept doing ministry together. So let's wrap up this conflict. What can we learn from it? I think there's three things that I found. First, this conflict wasn't so much personal as it was missional. It was about advancing the mission. Nobody committed adultery. Nobody embezzled. Nobody touched the children wrong. There was none of this, you know, typical bad church conflict thing going on. And if there was sin, it was just conflicting personalities and perhaps poor interpersonal communication. Very run-of-the-mill type stuff. And maybe that's why Luke didn't say much about it. There's the differing ways, different strategies, different places to go. Paul wanted to go back and visit the churches in Pamphylia, and Barnabas wanted to go down to Cyprus. Different ways of moving the gospel forward. Still, I ponder what Barnabas' mother and sister thought of Paul. I wonder what they thought of Paul. I don't think they're going to go to the movies with Paul. You know what I mean? I mean, we have zero information about what John Mark's mom thought and Barnabas' mom thought. But my experience in conflicts, and probably yours as well, would say that family and friends sometimes get more hot under the collar than the actual principals in a conflict. You know, I mean, isn't that how conflicts go? I mean, do not come after my kids unless you want to open up a can of mom and dad whoop Paul. You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that true for everybody? You don't come after my kids. Like, you're not even in the fight, but you sure get lit up about somebody else coming after your kids. Right? That's just the way people go. So that's the first thing. Human nature. Second, because of the conflict, the Holy Spirit used human frailty, human faults, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. This has been our theme for the entire month. Take a look at where Paul and Silas are called. Acts chapter 15. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and set out the brothers and sisters commending him to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Okay? So that's where they end up going. Cilicia and on into Pamphylia and all this. And then sure enough, they're going to go all the way. And Rome is right up there on that black stuff. That's right. Paul and Silas are called by the Holy Spirit through the Macedonian call, and they take this arduous journey around the Aegean Sea to spread the gospel to Philippi, Thessalonica, and on to Corinth, and even into Athens. So remember from this short series in November on the Acts of the Apostles, God uses flawed human beings to advance the gospel. You and me, all the way back to Paul and Barnabas, and John, and all the rest of them. Never forget that. Never forget that no matter what happens in your life, there is always hope. No matter how bad you goof things up, God can use it. It doesn't mean it's going to turn out the way you think, or even all the way you thought it should go, or even as good as it would have been. But there's always something going on. Always, brothers and sisters, it is really, really hard to quench the Holy Spirit. Third thing, and perhaps this is the most profound observation we see from this conflict, you and I are sitting here in this very moment in 2023 on this Thanksgiving weekend precisely because of this conflict happening. The gospel came to you and me because these guys split. Conflict happens, but so does the Holy Spirit. Paul and Barnabas split, and instead of one team, there are now two teams. And the gospel moved west. And you and I are the fruit of that split. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to the last words of the Apostle Paul. These last words are about you and me. And once again, there's another little conflict in it. Acts chapter 28, the very last words of Acts, the whole Acts of the Apostles, verse 23 in chapter 28. After they had set a day to meet with him, that's Paul, so you're kind of coming in on the middle of a conversation here. After they had set a day to meet with him, Paul, they came to him, that's the church council, and the Jews, sorry, it's the Jews, not the church council. They came to him at his lodging in great numbers. From morning until evening, he explained the matter to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law and from Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he had to say, while others refused to believe, and so they disagreed with each other. And as they were leaving, Paul made one further statement to these Jews in Rome. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah, go to this people and say, you will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. And then Paul says, let it be known to you then that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. That's the last words in the Acts of the Apostle, the first church. The Gentiles will listen, even though the Jews are resistant. May we Gentiles continue to listen and not turn out like this. May we advance the gospel further west and wherever it needs to go, and not stand in the way of the Holy Spirit, and embrace the conflicts that will come surely along the way. Amen.